If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4. We're going to start there. Glad you're here today. Acts, chapter 4. Again, let's remember the Bevingtons in their time of loss. God would help comfort them. Tonight, I want to bring a message to you that I think is very important that you hear. And I think I'd like to have the whole country hear this message. And we're hoping that some will come by way of the internet and hear it. Maybe we'll produce some tapes and send them out. Tonight I want to preach to you on a subject, Allah or Jesus. I want to speak to you on the subject, Allah or Jesus. And Acts chapter 4, verse 8 through 12, glad you're here. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Good to see each one of you tonight. Thank God we didn't have a hurricane down there in Florida, amen? Got some rain, but wasn't a hurricane. I'll take rain over a hurricane, amen? If you look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 8 through 12, it says in verse 8 of Acts chapter 4, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. By the way, every time you're filled with the Holy Ghost, every time, it's for one reason. For the proclaiming of Jesus Christ. Every time you see people filled in the Scripture, in the book of Acts, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost. Watch, people get saved afterwards. Every time. Peter was filled on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved. And over, you'll see they were filled. And that right there, you'll see people getting saved. It's for the power of the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Amen? It's not for speaking in tongues. It's for the power of the preaching of proclaiming that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Savior, and only Savior of the world. Well, notice verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. By the way, that's getting the Gentiles and the Jews, because the rulers of the people at that time were the Roman government. And of course, the elders is Israel. Amen? Notice, if we this day be examined, the good deed done to this important man, by what means he is made whole, look at verse 10. Be it known unto you all, by the way, I believe all the world should know this. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead. I'm glad he's not dead. I'm glad he's risen. The tomb of our Savior is empty. Amen. That separates us from all the other religions. We have a risen, alive, real Savior. Our God's not dead, he's alive. Whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. By the way, he can make any man whole if they'll just come to him to have Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is the stone which was set at naught of your builders, which has become the head of the corner. Watch verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. Boy, what a pronounced statement. What a proclaiming statement. What a profound statement. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ, the only way to heaven. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this precious Bible, holy writ of God. Pray tonight, Father, as we study the Word of God and preach it, Holy Spirit, I pray you, I'll be filled with the Spirit of God and empowerment, that men and women's hearts would be moved towards Christ. May people see Jesus as the Savior of the world and the Savior that they need so much. Father, help me now to do well for you and to be a blessing to the people. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There are many religions and cults in the world today, into the thousands. Many all over the world, different types, different shades of different teachings. But none, and I repeat, none, no religion, no cult, none can save a man's eternal soul. Not one of them. Can anyone say amen? The salvation of God Almighty is not found in religions and not found in the cults of the world. The salvation of God Almighty is found in a person. It's found in the Savior. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ that came from heaven and was born of a virgin on this earth in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And then later, 33 years later, went to Calvary's cross and died on the cross and shed his blood for my sins, your sins, and for the sins of the whole world. He was on the cross from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the afternoon, 6 hours. Man was made on the sixth day, the number of man, six. Jesus died and suffered on the cross for 6 hours for all the sins of mankind. 3 days later, he arose from the grave. He's alive. He's risen. And he walked on this earth for 40 days. And then he went back to heaven. And he's in heaven right now, real, reigning, righteous, at the right hand of the Father. And one day, I believe in our very near future, he'll be returning. Amen? Well, I'm not going to go to heaven because I'm a Baptist. I said there's no salvation found in any religion. You can name a Baptist as a religion. I thank God for the Baptist church. But did you know not one Baptist church ever got one person into the kingdom of God? The Savior got the, that they preach about gets people into the kingdom of God, but not the religion Baptist. You can be a Baptist and go to hell if you don't have Jesus as your Savior. You can be a Lutheran and go to hell if you don't have Jesus as your Savior. You can be a Catholic, a Methodist, a Church of God, Assembly of God. You just name Episcopalian. You just name anything you want to name. I'm not going to sit and name all the religions of the world, but you can put any title, anything you want. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, verse 12 says, look what it says. It makes us, what I call, Brother Eddie, we're dogmatic on the Scriptures, okay? It makes a dogmatic dog statement. Definitely, I'm not moving. Here's the way it is. Neither is there salvation in any other. Talking about Jesus Christ. See, it talks about Jesus in verse 10. Do you see that in verse 10? There's neither... Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus, by the way, in John 3:3 said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again, then the kingdom of God. And so everyone must be saved, and there's only one way to be saved, and there's only one person that can save you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. I'm going to heaven because I trusted back in 9 years ago, when I was 20 years old, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior at 1034 and a half Sherman Street. Got down on my knees one night after I was reading my Bible. For the first time, I realized I was a lost sinner going to hell. And I got down on my knees and I said, Lord Jesus, come to my heart. I was already a member of a Baptist church. I was already baptized, already prayed in the church, gave money, gave out tracts, but I wasn't saved. Had religion. See, religion won't get you to heaven. Boy, you better have the real thing, amen? But I realized that night I was a lost sinner and I got down and asked Christ to save my soul. And boy, I've been changed ever since, amen? And so I'm going to heaven because I put my faith in Jesus Christ. Now, as you read Acts chapter 4, verse 10 through 12, you'll see that Jesus made, there's a statement made about Jesus Christ. Look what it says there in verse 10. Be it known unto all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Aren't you glad he isn't still on the cross? Aren't you glad he's still in the grave?
Even by them doth this man stand whole. Sure, because had he not rose, there would have been no power to do anything else for anybody else. I can face tomorrow because he lives. Amen? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow, the songwriter said. And then verse 12 says, "This neither is there salvation in any other. For there's another name given under heaven among men where we must be saved." Hey, you want to get saved? There's only one place you can go to. And that's Jesus Christ. Amen? And so, there's no other salvation in any other religion, any other cult, or any other person other than Jesus Christ. God's appointed Savior is the only way. God's appointed sacrifice, which was Jesus Christ, is the only sacrifice. Jesus, the Lamb of God, is the only way you can get to heaven. No other way other than the Lamb that Jesus sent. Amen? They said Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. Amen? Well, Jesus was white. He had no sin. And his mother was Mary. Amen? And I'm glad God sent us a lamb. Amen? And his name is Jesus. And so, and notice, since I want to make this statement to you. God's appointed Savior sacrifice for mankind is a definite one person, one way. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus said himself, "I'm the only way. If you're not looking on me, you're looking the wrong way." Matter of fact, he said in John 5:29, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." And the scriptures, they are talking about the scriptures. "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." He said, "This Bible, these scriptures will tell you to look to me," him, Jesus, amen? In John chapter 10, verse 7 through 10, he said, "I'm the door." Everyone's looking for a door to get into heaven. They make jokes about the door. Peter stands at the door of heaven. And stands at the door to get in. Well, I'm going to tell you who the doorkeeper is of heaven. It's Jesus. Jesus said, "I'm the door. If any man enter, he must enter by me." And so if you want to come, you want to get to heaven, you want to, the right way and the only way is Jesus. There's no other name given in heaven. It's Jesus. The door to heaven is Jesus. Amen? The sacrifice that was given for you was from Jesus. Amen? Who can say amen? Now, but man, even though Christ over and over the scripture teaches that he's the only way, man strives to make ways for a person to get into heaven. Let me give you an illustration. Man tried to redeem his soul by many ways, but the blood. But they all failed without Jesus. For instance, Cain tried to get into heaven by offering the works of his hands. Remember Genesis 4? But God didn't accept that. Although he did accept Abel, his brother's offering, because he offered up a lamb, and that lamb was a symbol and showed forth the Lamb of Christ to come in the future. Amen? That's all that was. It was in type. And so, for 6,000 years now, man has tried to come before a holy God by his own hands, and they failed. We've not been here for millions of years, folks. The man's only been on this earth for about 6,000 years. The Old Testament covers 4,000 years, and the New Testament covers 2,000 years. And if I remember my school teachers, if they haven't changed it yet in this modern age that we live in, 4 and 2 still equals 6, Brother Bud. Amen? So I know what people say, but man's only been on this earth for about 6,000 years. And for 6,000 years, they've been trying to find a new way to heaven. But God, from the very first man, see, from Adam and Eve, from the very first man and woman, God made it plain how to get to heaven. Don't turn to it. Let me just quote a scripture. Genesis 3:21, when Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says they were naked, and the Bible says God clothed them. Well, for them to get clothed, God had to kill an innocent lamb, and he clothed them with that lamb, from the lamb. An innocent lamb was slain so they could be clothed. Well, that was a truth and a symbol of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Remember when Jesus came, John the Baptist said, "Behold," John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." You see? And so what it was teaching, and then you say, how do you think that that was teaching? Well, it's amazing, Eddie. God did that for Adam and Eve. And the very first sacrifice we see given in Genesis 4, he did that in 3:21. And the very next chapter, just a couple of verses in, his son Abel offered up a lamb. Now, why did Abel offer a lamb? He offered a lamb because God taught Adam and Eve the way to get to heaven is through a lamb. And of course, it was through the shed blood of a lamb. And we know that shed blood of the lamb was Jesus Christ. And that's why even in the book of Exodus, when you read Moses, they shed the blood. Remember that? They killed the lamb, put the blood on the doorpost. How many remember that? And all through the Bible, all through the Old Testament, it showed shedding blood of a lamb, shedding blood of a lamb, shedding blood of a lamb. And then finally, the Lamb of God literally came. Jesus, and he shed his own personal blood. And so that's how God has always, from the very beginning, said that you get to heaven. You get it from the shed blood of the Lamb of God. Amen? And so tonight I want to compare a religion that's really going rapidly. My lands. It's the Muslim religion we call Islam. And tonight I want to compare Allah or Jesus. And I just want to take a couple things. Do you have a little paper I gave you? I want to share a few moments with you about Allah and Jesus. Notice, if you look at your paper, the Muslim religion is the fastest growing religion per capita in the United States, especially in the minority areas. Now, Allah or Jesus, this is by Rick Mathis, and he works in the jails. By the way, I don't know him personally, but I'm told he's very well known and very reputable. And so, I'm going to give you this. This is an email that he sent out. And we're going to read actually what he wrote. And then I'm going to give you some scriptures. Amen? Rick goes on to say this. Last month, I attended my annual training session that required for maintaining my state prison security clearance. During the training session, that was presentation by three speakers representing the Roman Catholic, Protestant, and Muslim faiths, who explained each of their beliefs. I was particularly interested in what the Islam Ayman had to say. The Ayman gave a great presentation of the basics of Islam, complete with a video. After the presentations, time was provided for questions and answers. When it was my turn, I directed my question to the Ayman and asked, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I understand that most Ayams and clericals of Islam have declared a holy war on jihad and against the infidels of the world. And by killing an infidel, which is commanded to all Muslims, they are assured of a place in heaven. If that is the case, can you give me the definition of an infidel? So what he's saying, he says that the man taught that all the faithful Muslims will kill infidels, and by killing them, they can work their way into heaven. Well, that's a thought, isn't it? There was no disagreement with the statements, and without hesitation, he replied. Look at your next paper. Infidels are non-believers. Note, I responded, so let me make sure I have this straight. All followers of Allah have been commanded to kill everyone who is not of your faith so they could go to heaven? Is that correct? Boy, that's a question, isn't it? The expression on his face changed from one of authority and command to that of a little boy who just got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. Caught me. Youch. He sheepishly replied, yes. I then stated, well, sir, I have a real problem trying to imagine Pope John Paul commanding the Catholics, all the Catholics, to kill those of your faith, or Dr. Stanley ordering Protestants to do the same in order to go to heaven. Can you imagine if every Catholic or Protestant said, go out and kill everyone that's not of their faith? Can you imagine that? Of course, the Ayman was speechless. I continued, I also have a problem with being your friend when you ask your brother clerics are telling your followers to kill me. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather have Allah, who tells you to kill me in order to go to heaven, or my Jesus, who tells me to love you because I'm going to heaven and wants you to be with me? You could have heard a pin drop as Iman hung his head in shame. Nevertheless, to say, the organizers and the promoters of this diversification training seminar were not happy with Rick's way of dealing with the Islam man and exposing the truth about the Muslim belief. Now, look up here. I'm going to take just a few moments and share with you on this Allah versus Jesus, or Allah or Jesus. And I just made 2 points. I got about 10 scriptures, but I only got 2 points, okay? So don't get excited. Two, preacher? Yeah, two. Because that's just for the limit of time that we have. But I want you to notice with me, let's see what Jesus tells his followers to do. We're going to examine this statement, just this one statement that he made on there. And the Iman said to all the followers of the Muslim followers, all followers of Allah have been commanded to kill everyone who is not of Islam faith. That's the command, to kill, if they're not a believer. And every person that's not is an unbeliever is an infidel. Are you with me? Now let's see what Jesus tells us his followers to do. Notice in Matthew chapter 5, look with me quickly in Matthew chapter 5. And look at verse 43. Look at 5:43. Are you in Matthew 5:43? Here's the words of Christ. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor. I'm in Matthew 5, verse 43. And hate thine enemy. But Jesus said, but I say unto you, love your enemy. What a contrast. What a contrast between Allah and Jesus. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that would despitefully use you and persecute you. Man, he's saying, hey, do well by your enemies. Don't hate them, love them, care about them. Hello? Allah hates his enemies. Jesus loves his enemies. Boy, what a contrast, huh? Notice verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain upon the just and on the unjust. And look at verse 46. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? It's not hard for us to love people that we love. It's easy for me to love you. You're always so good to me and Rosie, my family. But let's show our real Christian faith and love someone that doesn't love us. Let's give love where we see. I'm a recipient of your love. Let's give love where you won't be reciprocated back. Matter of fact, where you've already been sent evil towards you. That's a real statement of Christ. That's opposite of what the Muslim are teaching. Amen. Notice. And if you salute your brethren only, like if you only love your own Christians, what do you more than others? Anybody can love their own. Why not? But love the unlovely. I'm glad Christ loved the unlovely. And then be therefore perfect, verse 48, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You know, we have a perfect God and He wants us to try to be like Him. And He says to be like me, I don't want you to hate your enemy. I want you to love them. I think that's a great contrast from what Allah's teachings are. Amen? Notice also while you're still there. Look at Matthew. I wanted to share this earlier with you.
And look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew 10, 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to kill, destroy both the soul and body in hell. You know, Jesus, you know, people do anything to save their soul. But Jesus said, don't kill people. Love them. Because I don't want, if they die without me, they go to hell. Are you with me? I was going to share with you. Look at Matthew 16. Look at Matthew 16. I should have did this on the first page. Verse 26. This is a teaching on how people are all trying to get to heaven in different ways. People do anything to save their soul. Matthew 16, 26. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give exchange for his soul? Men are doing everything to try to get their soul cleansed, to get to heaven. Now, the Muslims say you kill infidels and you'll get to heaven. But that's not what Jesus said. Some people say you got to work your way to heaven. That's not what Jesus said. He's done all the work for us. You know, and Jesus said, you know, the only thing you should worry about is your own soul, because when you die, I'm the one who can cast you in hell. And so if you're worried about dying and going to hell, don't worry about killing other people. Just worry about your own soul and worry about turning to the one that can save your soul, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen? Look at Romans. Look in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. On the comparison of Jesus and Allah. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. So we first learned that Allah hates his enemy, but we found out that Jesus loves his enemy. We found out that Allah, he wants to kill his enemy, but Jesus wants to be a blessing to his enemy. Are you with me? What a contrast. Amen? How many think there's a contrast? It's like north and south, up and down, amen? Right and wrong, amen? Evil and good. Notice in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God, I'm glad it's always God, but God commends his love towards us in that while we're yet sinners or unbelievers, are you with me? Christ died for us. Keep reading. Much more than being now justified by his blood, talking about the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary's cross, that's in heaven right now in the mercy seat, and we shall be saved from wrath through him. That's who the wrath you ought to worry about, is the wrath of God. For if we, when we were enemies, Allah says to kill your enemies. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Jesus didn't kill us. He reconciled us. What a difference. Amen? Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Amen? And not only so, but we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Atonement means men at one with God. Jesus made atonement. He, what he did on the cross, it satisfied an outraged holy God over man's sin. The word propitiation means that God was satisfied with Christ's sacrifice, you see. And so, we see Allah wants to destroy enemies, Jesus wants to reconcile them. Allah wants to kill them, Jesus wants to restore them. Amen? And bless them. Note also, stay in Romans with me. I'm going to give you a real thought here that I got this afternoon. Look at Rome. I love the book of Romans. By the way, I'll be teaching the book of Romans come next month. I'll be taking the second part of Romans. I hope you'll be in that class. I'll be teaching 2 hours every night. And we have a lot of fun in Romans. It's the only way to go. As a matter of fact, I think you have to go to Romans. No, I'm just kidding you. We're going to Romanize you, amen? Friends, Romans, come and hear my class. 2 hours, Bible Institute. One day we're going to have all these put on the internet and different places, and Hopefully we're going to be putting them in. I know a lot of our missionaries in the Philippines want to use them in their Bible colleges. When we get all these, our Bible Institute classes taped, mine, Robert's, and David's, and all those, we're going to put them out, and we're going to have them all over the world helping teach other people. Amen? We're excited about that. Well, notice Romans chapter 12 and verse 20. Romans 12, 20. Boy, time goes by, doesn't it? 12, 20. Something's wrong here. I can't read my own writing. There it is. Yeah, Romans 12, 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, what'd he say? Feed him. Allah says, pull the trigger and kill him. Are you with me? If he thirsts, give him drink. Allah says, let him die of thirst. Stay with me. But Jesus says, give him something to drink. I thought of this, man. I love America. America might not be the great Christian nation it once was, but it's definitely a nation that's a Christian nation with God's principles. Let me give you a thought. Jesus said to give them water and food. America has always went by being a Christian nation. Our currency and our coin says, in God we trust. Someday they might take it off. I hate to say that. But in our country founded with believers, there was believers that founded and wrote our Constitution and everything. I believe with all my heart, George Washington, our first president, was a born-again Christian. I believe we're going to see him in heaven. I believe that with all my heart. I thought about this, Bobby. We're talking about enemies now. Enemies. In war, did you ever notice when a country's in war with an enemy? When the victor beats the other country, the spoils of that country go to the victor. Whoever wins usually takes all the goods and the money and the land. With the victory comes the spoils of war. Are you still with me? In other words, you were my enemy. I defeated you. I'm taking it now. But not so with America. Not so with America, because America was founded on the Word of God. And America had the truth of Christ in them. Because when we defeated Germany and Japan in Second World War, we bombed and destroyed their cities and their towns and destroyed all their fabric and their workings of their inside their countries. What did America do? They went back. They didn't take the spoils. We put money and men and manpower and equipment and machinery and technology. We rebuilt. We built back up our enemy. When we recently, what should we do to our enemies, Lord? Don't do good unto them to despitely use you. Even though Hitler despitely used us, and we did good back to the German people. And I'm glad we did. How many are still with me? When just a year ago, so when we defeated Saddam Hussein, who was insane, still is too. He ought not even be alive. All the crimes he committed. Anyways, we went in and defeated Saddam Hussein. Instead of shooting him, they put him in prison. And that's all right. That's the way we do things. Guy's going to have a trial, and we'll see what happens in the trial. I don't know why it takes so long to do a trial like that, but it's doing it. And then we defeated the country, Iraq, in the war. But instead of just taking... No, what we've done, we've given our precious boy's blood. We're putting billions of dollars into Iraq to try to restore them and give them a land of freedom.
Hello? If we'd have been underneath the rule of Allah, destroy the infidels, we would have killed everyone in that country. I mean, of all the countries. I like Jesus way better. It's not always the easiest way, but it's the best way. Are you with me? And now if we've given back our money and our technology and stuff, we've given back our precious sons and daughters. There's been a bunch of our kids that have been killed over there in Iraq since while the war and after, more probably after war than during, because we just stomped them with the war when it was really a fighting game. I mean, we've given back to them more than they could never repay back to what we got. We've given to them. Amen? What I'm saying is, America's had the Christian value. Because if we would have went by Allah's way to hate your enemy, we'd have wiped them off the face of the map. Now that's pretty strong talk, but I'm just telling you the way practical. If aren't you glad America's in charge and not other people? It would have been a bloodbath. Example, I gave the examples. Now notice I noted this, and I'm going to close in just a minute here. The whole world should sing, America, America, God shed her grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea, because America has been a blessing to all the countries of the world. And they bless them through the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm closing. Lastly, Islam tells its followers to kill infidels to earn their way to heaven. Jesus doesn't want us to kill unbelievers. Jesus himself was killed for all unbelievers. Jesus, the Savior, personally gave his life for all unbelievers. All sinners. All infidels. He doesn't want them to die. He died for them. That's what's the amazing point. I don't want you to kill the infidels. He's supposed to be the saving God. Well, Christ, the real Savior, he doesn't say, don't kill him. I died for him. Jesus died for all sinners, all infidels, all the enemies of the cross. Would you look at just a couple of scriptures with me, and I'm done. I'm going to read, let's read John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Look at verse 5. Verse 15, I'm sorry. John chapter 10, verse 15. Notice what the scripture says. And by the way, that's all that matters, what the Holy Scripture says, not what man says. The Bible says, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein does he be accounted of? Isaiah 2:22. But as John 10:15 says this, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, yeah, the people that were going to live afterwards. Also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and shall be one fold and one shepherd, Jesus being that one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me. Now Jesus laid his life down willingly. He did it all on his own. He did it because he loved you and I and all the world. But I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I'm glad I got a Savior that no one forced him. He did it out of love. He said, no, don't kill nobody. I'm going to die for those people. I love them. And then if you'll quickly turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28. I'll just quote to you. You can turn to it, or you can just stay there and listen. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28. As is appointed unto man once to die, but after this to judgment. So Christ, not Allah,
was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You want salvation? Look to Jesus. Don't look beyond that. Look at chapter 12, verse 2. What a great verse. Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus. If you're looking to get to heaven, the only way is, and the door is Jesus. No man-made religion, only Jesus. You, preacher, are you telling me that anyone that does, is not of faith in Jesus Christ is going to go to hell? Yes, I'm telling you that. Because the Bible says, and I believe the Bible, that there's no other name given under heaven whereby one why men must be saved. As the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. If he said Allah was the way, I would have trusted it. But it says Jesus is the way. And not only did it say Jesus, Jesus came down from heaven personally, was born personally, walked this earth personally, touched and healed people personally. People personally saw him. He arose from the grave. He died personally, shed his personal blood. So you can have a personal salvation. See, salvation is a personal thing. It's for prepared people. Heaven, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven's a prepared place for a prepared people. You want to go to heaven, you must have a preparation. And the preparation is of the heart. And that's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's in heaven. He's real. He's reigning. He's righteous. And one day, hallelujah, he's coming again. One last scripture. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 through 14. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God. Boy, aren't you glad, Rob, that God didn't kill us? Amen. Tony, aren't you glad that he loved us before we ever loved him? How many could say they love Jesus tonight? Amen. Did you know what? He loves you, but he loved you way before you loved him. And whether you love him or not, he still loves you. See, and his love is an eternal love. Isn't that exciting? When I was causing all the trouble down in Galena Street and years ago before I knew Christ as my Savior, I'm glad God looked down and said, that guy's an enemy. Because Romans 5:9 and 5:10 said I was an enemy. I'm glad he didn't say, I'm going to destroy that enemy. I'm glad he had grace and mercy. Amen. You see, it's the grace of God that anyone goes to heaven. It's the mercy of God that's put out for people to trust Christ. Amen? Grace and mercy. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he proved it by sending his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. No, the Bible says in John 5:24, God's a spirit. He that worships, he must worship in spirit and truth. We see him through the word. We see him in our hearts. Amen? This one man one time said he saw a 90-foot Jesus. Don't believe that. He ate too many pickles and butter and peanut butter before he went to bed that night. One day we're going to see him when the rapture happens. But not right now. One day we're going to be face to face, but not right now. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Oh, wow. Wow, God's saying that you need love. The other teaching's saying you need hate. I like Jesus better. God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. Yeah, he gives us his Holy Spirit. Bible says in Romans 8:9, if any are not the Spirit of God, they're none of his. When you get the Spirit of God, preacher, the very moment you ask Christ to come and save your soul and be your Savior, the Bible says he does an operation made without hands. And the Spirit of God literally comes. Jesus said, I've got to leave you. Told his disciples, I've got to leave you, but I'm going to send my comforter back. He's going to dwell in you, John chapter 16. And he's going to remain in you till I come. And that's why he says in Ephesians 4:30, you're sealed until the day of redemption because you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen? And the Bible says that Holy Spirit that he gives in our heart, it's our earnest. It's God's down payment saying we belong to him. Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son. Last. He sent the Son, why? To be the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. I don't care what religion you go under. I don't care what you believe. And I don't care what they call it. Unless you have faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. You can kill all the people you want. Or not, or be good to all the people you want. You won't get to heaven. It's not by the works of man does anyone get to heaven. The Bible says, and I close with this scripture, it's just coming right now. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are we saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No one ever worked their way to heaven, and no one ever will. But heaven was provided for. There was a provision given by God Almighty. He sent a son. His son came from heaven. His son was born of a virgin so he could have no sin. So he could die for our sins. The sinless Savior died for all the sinners of the world. You that are hearing me tonight, you're a sinner. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He doesn't want you to die. He wants you to live forever. And that's why he said in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. You know, why don't you get the scales out and weigh them tonight? Why don't you get the scales out and weigh Allah or Jesus or anybody else in Jesus? And you're going to see no matter what you put on those scales, when you put Jesus on there, the scales are going to turn towards Jesus. Because Jesus really is the only way to heaven. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that tonight, if there be any that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that tonight they would trust Christ, that they would see there's only one way to get into heaven, and that's through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that those that might have trusted in vain religions, pray that the Holy Spirit open up their eyes to truth. And that they won't trust and die and go to hell believing in a religion. But they'll die with faith in the Son of God, Christ, going to heaven. Pray they won't try to find a way to try to work their way because they're never going to make it working. Pray that they'll just trust in the finished work of Calvary's cross on the Son of God. I wonder with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say tonight, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I know for a fact I've saved. I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Could you raise that hand? I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Thank you. You may put it down. I wonder, would there be any tonight that say, Pastor, I'm really not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that tonight? Preacher, I'm really not sure. I'm religious, but I never have really asked Christ. I never realized I was a lost sinner going to hell. Never realized I had to count on what Jesus did on the cross. That's the work. He did the work. You just got the responsibility of believing it. They said in John 6:28, what's the work that we can do to get to heaven? He said, believe on him that sent me. You're listening by way of the internet. It's no accident that you're listening to this tape. The Lord told me ahead of time that someone would listen to this tape that would be searching. Matter of fact, my church has been praying for you. No doubt there's people praying for me even right now during this invitation. And even though we can't see you, and you, this might be a tape that's 20 days in the future, 100 days in the future, maybe a year from now, you'll soon be hearing this tape. It's no accident that you heard this tape. There's a God in heaven that loves you. He's trying to speak to you. Right now, don't turn the tape off. Right now, right where you're at.
Don't leave right now. You stop what you're doing. You stop right now what you're doing. Now you listen to me. God brought you to hear this message. You need to turn to Christ right now. Right now while you've got a chance. Right now while God's speaking to your heart. Right now while the Holy Spirit's got your heart warming, your heart's just beating real fast. Don't say, I'll do it another day, preacher. No, you won't do it another day. You do it right now. Well, what would people say? Don't worry about what other people say. You just do what's right. You turn to Christ. Well, preacher, I've already done some real bad things. Don't worry. I don't care what you are, what you've been, where you are. Christ has died for everything you've ever done and everything you're ever going to do. He loves you. And that's why he had me preach this message tonight. So you might have just stumbled into this website. I pray that you'll listen from heaven. Father, I pray with all my heart that the Holy Spirit of God would anoint this message. Pray that all the hearers of this message that are lost would think about the Savior, the real Savior, the one and only Savior, Savior of the world. No matter what country it would be, America, Russia, Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Poland, Romania, Italy, Spain, Africa, Germany. Oh God, whatever country, Norway, Iceland, Greenland, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. South America, Brazil, Cuba, doesn't matter. Philippines, doesn't matter. Australia, doesn't matter. Oh, every country on this whole planet Earth. Every person that's ever born, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loves them. He loves them. He loves you that are hearing tonight. He loves you. He died for you. He arose. And he's coming again. Why don't you look to him? Look to him right now. Oh, God, listen to him. Lord, help him to listen and to come to you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless this message as it went out. Pray that the hearers would get truth from the Holy Word of God. And they would find the Savior, the real Savior of the world that can get them to heaven. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. By the way,